Hi, everybody. Lisa McNeely. I'm the Director of Energy and Sustainability for CVAG. So we want to thank the Coachella Valley Water District for their hospitality today. Very generous and offers this great meeting space. Just a couple of meeting logistics reminders for any of you who've been here before. You're aware we've talked about how sensitive the mics are. They're in the ceiling. So just know rustling side conversations might accidentally get picked up. Just a quick note, again, on the logistics front, looking ahead, we're anticipating canceling the May meeting. So the next meeting will be June 11th. And Chair, I did have one other update that I wanted to give about the CAL FIRE tree grant that we've talked about before here in this venue. So there was a tree planting event in Indio on April 4th. We have a couple of photos. I think we're working to get those up for everybody to see. So we had the IID board director, Eugenio, and the DRD board director, Espinoza, who were able to attend. And we were able to plant several trees. So it was a nice sunny day and a great kickoff or continued kickoff for this important tree planting grant. And with that, that's all I had, Chair.
Thank you. I did want to bring up two issues. Well, actually request maybe some future agenda items and see what our commission thinks. One of those, I know there's some concerns on the water levels at the Colorado River and also the negotiations that are currently going on with the other states. Would we be able to get a presentation on that situation in the near future?
Sure, I can certainly look to see, who might be a good person to be able to represent the best sort of up-to-date information and the impact on the valley, so we can stay in touch on that.
Thank you. And the second one, I know there's a lot of concerns right now in the community on data centers coming in to nearby areas. And so I wanted to see if we could also get a presentation just so we can get a better understanding on how these operations work, what resources they need, and what's going on in the region regarding data centers.
This is on top of what we had last week.
No, this would be for future agenda items.
So we can certainly look into both of those. I think it is a very interesting topic. I think we'll want to make sure we've got the right person in the room on this.
Tramby, you guys have a presentation recently, right, that you guys had on data centers?
Solar and data centers last meeting.
I think there was one to Coachella Valley Power Agency.
Oh, that's okay. I was like, we just heard this. I was sitting in this chair.
Gotcha.
Just as, I don't know, high level update, if that's helpful. Carroll County Board of Supervisors has been dealing with a proposed data center in Imperial City Hub, and there was a lot of public feeling about that. So I think maybe we could provide that or make that presentation available from CDPA.
Awesome.
Yes, we can certainly work to do that. And it was at the last meeting, if anybody is, so that that staff report would be posted online too. So, but we can do both. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any other director comments? That is good.
Appreciate those.
All right. I'll move on to our consent calendar. Any questions or a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
La Quinta will second.
Got a motion from Indian Wells, second from La Quinta. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Blight?
Yes.
All right. Any abstentions? Any opposed? All right. Motion passes. Thank you very much. And then we'll move on to item number 5A, which is local efforts to address hexavalent chromium 6. And I believe we have Joanne Lee from Coachella Valley Water District.
Do I have to wear this microphone? Can you hear me fine?
Okay. Well, I'm not sure.
Good afternoon, Chair Ortiz and members of the board. My name is Joanne Lay. I'm the Director of Environmental Services for the Coachella Valley Water District, and I'm here to give you an update on what we're doing to comply with the hexachromium regulation. We are, just a little background on chromium. I just want to stress that it's in the valley, in the Coachella Valley, it is naturally occurring in our groundwater. And This is going to be a quiz at the end. Please say pay attention. Just kidding. There are two forms of chromium. Chromium 3 it is an essential nutrient for human metabolism. It's a vitamin that we take for our health. And chromium 6 also formed naturally from chromium 3. That's more of a That's the more of a toxic form that can cause health impact when ingested for many years, though. And like I mentioned, it's naturally occurring in the Coachella Valley. It's in serpentine rock, and of course, there are isolated industrial sources as well. And I believe that's what the state is trying to address here is the industrial sources. A little bit on the regulation. The state of California adopted this water standard maximum contaminant level of 10 parts per billion. And for context, one part per billion is a drop in a 10,000 gallon swimming pool, very, very, very little. It became effective October 1st of 2024, some of you know, and it's regulated for potential health impact, as I mentioned. No immediate health risk. As far as drinking water standards go, the federal's MCL for total chromium is at 100 part per billion. The state of California also has a total chromium standard at 50 part per billion, and now chromium 6 at 10 part per billion. Also, a little history too. Excuse me. In 2014, the state adopted the same MCL. It was overturned by the court because of the economic feasible and ability to implement this standard. And here we are in 2026, and the MCO was adopted in 24. In our service area, 33 of our 92 wells are impacted by this MCL as they exceed the the level. What are we doing to comply with this MCL? There's no state funding, and we have estimated the compliance cost of $350 million. We submitted a compliance plan to the Division of Drinking Water in October of 25, and that plan includes taking off 21 of the 33 wells out of service because they exceed the MCL, constructing four treatment plants, utilizing reduction, coagulation, and filtration technology. Drilling 14 new wells and constructing pipelines to convey the treated water to different areas of pressure zone to meet the water demand. So, protecting public health and affordability, as I mentioned, it will cost us about $350 million to comply with this regulation. There's no state funding, and so we working on legislative bill to somehow get funding allocated for impacted agencies. We have met all state and federal drinking water standards since 1961, and every year we test 17,000 plus water samples. And again, the MCL is being challenged, and Chair Ortiz, you might know because INDIO is one of the eight agency that's part of this lawsuit. There was a hearing back in March, and we're just waiting for the court hearing or decision on we're going with this Chrome 6 regulation. So for more information, please visit our website listed here. And that's all I have for today. Thank you.
Question. Do we what are the health what's the health research? Is there health research showing negative impacts at these very low levels? Let's say 20 parts per billion. A lot of our wells here are right above the limit, right? When it's 10, we have wells that are 13, 15, 20. What is that difference? health-wise?
So we have looked into this, and you have to be drinking water for 70 plus years to have a potential of health impact.
At which part per billion was that?
If we're looking at the current MCL being regulated right now,
Okay.
the requirement of 10.
Yes, 10 part per billion.
10.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I actually I've been thinking through this one a bit because I think we have to also have this conversation in the larger context. There's other communities where it's not naturally occurring, right? Where
Right.
there's a lot of industrial waste that's going into water supplies, and the state is looking to clean up those water supplies. But
Correct.
there you have a culprit and you have somebody to regulate. Here, this is naturally occurring. We're
Right.
still at pretty low levels, and we're seeing these really extreme costs that if we were to use those for other health purposes, they might be much more beneficial, right? Investments into healthcare, hospitals, communities, health centers, other things that we could be doing. Right now, we're looking at the numbers in India. The high estimate is about 120 million initial investment, $4 to $5 million per year. And in that process, we would produce 75,000 gallons of hazardous waste every month. And so what is the risk of that, right? Where is that going and what community is that going to impact? And so I really, and I've been, we've been, advocating together at the state for years, right? And trying to get that through. I don't know if there's any way that we can push for legislation that can maybe separate, where there's naturally occurring versus where there's industrial contamination. I haven't gotten great reception from that conversation from other folks. Seems to be that there's going to be one number and everybody has to go by that number. But should we be pushing for that MCL to still be raised? But also considering that there's other communities where this is not naturally occurring and they
Right.
would also be impacted by these decisions, right? So, but oh, happy to open it up to any conversation. Mr. Truby.
Yeah. Thank you for the presentation. The question is, you haven't started, CDWD has not started down the process of shutting down wells, drilling new wells, new infrastructure, pipelines until the legal challenge is sorted out. Is that correct?
Well, technically, we have to be approved. Our plan has to be approved by DDW in order to for us to move forward with our compliance plan.
Okay.
And we have submitted our plan, as I mentioned, in October of last year. We've gone through four rounds of response correspondences, and we still have not yet received that approval.
Okay. So you haven't spent any money in
Not yet.
conforming. Okay.
But you've had ongoing expenditures.
Yeah.
For monitoring chromium
Correct.
six for years to the tune of what, 8 million or so a year, it seems. Is that a number that's close or off or?
Are you talking about just monitoring testing costs?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the exact cost. I'll look into it and I'll share with this team here.
When you were submitting your plans, what all did that entail for those plans that were submitted in October?
So the plan as I laid out, let's go back. See if can we go back to. So it's basically taking down the wells, the wells that let's see here. Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. Thanks.
I'll be
Right
mine.
here. Oh, go back. Yes, please. So this is our plan, as summarized here, is to take down 21 wells, constructing 14 new wells, four treatment plants, and pipelines. It's basically our plan in a nutshell.
Yeah. And I understand right now we're currently all kind of fighting for the funding, right?
Correct.
But I think we should also have a different angle where we still continue to push for smarter investment here. And I
Yeah.
don't know if maybe we can talk to some of our local legislators and see if they have any new proposals that we could bring into the Capitol to see if we can get some help on this because that's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes, and
And
our board has
in the
been,
current
sorry.
economic environment, it's going to have a huge impact. Do you have something you wanted to add,
Good
Ms.
afternoon.
Borja?
Karen Borham, the Government Affairs Program Manager at CDWD. So we've been working on a lot of pieces of legislation for
Can you stand in the middle so that people remotely can hear as well?
Podium.
At the podium. Okay. Thank you so much.
So we've have over a decade of working on different pieces of legislation around Chromium 6, CVWD, IWA, Mission Springs, the rest of us that have naturally occurring Chromium 6. So last year, we were able to work with Senator Caballero from the Central Valley, Fresno area. Central Valley also has a lot of naturally occurring Chromium 6 in their water as well. So we worked with our local folks, people across the state, passed Senate Bill 466, which helps us have that shortened extension timeline, doesn't put us in violation of state law, and we are still moving towards compliance. So this year, actually at 1 p.m., we have a meeting with Assemblymember Greg Wallace's office, and we are putting in a budget request of $775 up to $1 billion to the state for Chromium 6 mitigation. Total funding is above $1.2 billion. There's 135 water providers across the state that are having to mitigate their Chromium 6 as well. Some people have taken wells offline completely, and they are still submitting their plans and waiting for plans to get approved. Others of us are building treatment plants and wells and moving things along. Some people have spent millions of dollars already. Some people are waiting for their plans to get approved. So as far as legislation, yes, we are submitting a budget request this year. We're meeting with them today to figure out if it's going to be an initial just $73 million, $100 to $200 million, or the full almost $800 million. So it takes a little bit of coordination, but at some point this year, yes, we will be submitting a budget request to the state for Chromium 6 funding. We talk about this on the legislative side as an unfunded mandate from the state. And so now the request is, please fund your unfunded mandate. Mm-hmm. Those funds may come from Prop 4, they may not come from Prop 4. That's the other conversation, right? We all voted on Prop 4, it passed, but we are not the only ones seeking funds from that very small pool of money.
Ms. Cooper.
Yeah, I just want to let this body know our unincorporated communities, Desert Edge, Sky Valley, and Indio Hill received a presentation from CVWD. Thank you, Karen. And Jim Barrett came and spoke. And a couple of the CVWD thoughts were that obviously there's an increasing cost that's going to come at some time, either through CVWD or turning those communities over to Mission Springs Water. So apparently Mission Springs Water has a lower level of chromium that doesn't fall into this category. But they were really upset to find out that they would at some point maybe be turned over to Mission Springs so that they would have a better, outcome on the water delivery. But that kind of was thrown out there that Mission Springs was also looking to do some development along that western side of the area. So just kind of want to let you know that.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
So a few things. This is outrageous because of the cost, right? And it's going to be passed on to everyone who uses water. So the actual cost of water is going to increase, which affects people at the lower income level more than anybody else. At 100 parts per billion, it's already which is the federal level, it's already the most stringent water regulation in the world. Okay? We're at 50, I think, in the state of California.
Yes.
Just to give you a sense, Aaron Brockovich won a very famous trial for a similar situation. 11,000 parts per billion. We're talking 10 parts per billion. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've had a number of experts opine on this who are doctors, and there is almost zero. It's never zero. Almost zero risk at 50 parts per billion. So this is a really interesting scenario. The reason why Fresno was chosen as the place to focus
is because the county has been very successful in fighting litigation from the state of California and winning farmland, a lot of rights, et cetera, over the last 100 years. So this isn't over, and I'm hoping that the lawsuit will have success because this is completely unnecessary.
Yeah. If I'm trying to think of what kind of language to look for in legislation, right? How do we say that we want to be held at, let's say, 25 parts per billion and push for that? But how do we still address the concerns of areas where this is industrial waste going into their water? I think we should pursue that route and find, you know, what kind of proposals we can get from our legislators. But I think having, you know, our area be at 25 and maybe the statewide be 25, but some kind of added regulation where there's industrial concerns because of these huge costs and also environmental impacts that we're going to have now, right, with these hundreds of thousands of gallons of hazardous waste that's going to be shipped probably to New Mexico somewhere and burned up and getting put back into our air, right? But would the committee be open to that?
So how do you distinguish between naturally occurring and industrial?
I think there's
geographically,
there's certain industrial processes that release chromium six.
There's no like chemical signature on the chromium that distinguishes it, or is there?
No, but I think there's testing that's already being done at the source, at the sources, right, where we know where these industrial wastes are coming from. I think a lot of them are like metal processing, chrome facilities, stuff like that. So maybe there's...
I think one of the issues, if you talk to a doctor, they would say that chromium 6, whether it's industrial or natural, mm-hmm. is an issue.
Yes.
So the distinction is as to how it originates is less important than its amount per billion. So 50 is very safe. And we are well below 50 in Indio and the water district. We're hovering between
2023. Yeah.
So, and that, you know, the body produces chromium and not chromium six, but chromium four and chromium two to help you digest food.
Yeah.
So, but six is a specific toxic chemical to the body.
So I just wanted to share that I don't think this issue is currently on sort of CBAG's legislative platform, but Deputy Executive Director Felci, I think, knows a little bit more about this, and maybe you can talk a little bit about what we might need to do to make any kind of statement. Is that okay for her to speak?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that you introduced me in case nobody knew who I was. Thank
you. There may be people on.
So as you'll notice, this is listed as an information item. It's certainly the discretion of the committee, though, to take action on if you were. I'd suggest you do something broad that, such as direct the chair of ENS, chair of executive committee, and the executive director to support local efforts to address chromium 6. That would allow CVAG, if requested, to support legislative efforts. If CVWD, for example, was going to move forward with legislation and needed letters of support, that would allow CVAG then to lend its name to it.
Yes.
Would then go to exec.
I think my concern there is, though, that currently we don't have anything that's pushing that kind of language that we're talking about here. So how do we start that new conversation of getting that MCL raised back up?
So if you want to do something like that, I'd suggest we bring that back at another item just to be consistent with the way we've agendized this. But if you wanted to voice CVAG to do something more immediate, that my suggestion would be some direction for legislative efforts, because it is not in our platform.
Yes. Can we get that direction?
Yeah, I would love think that. It's unreasonable, right, to ask CVAG to work with the CVWD to come back to us with a legislative plan.
Right.
That can be done based on this presentation today.
Yeah, provide that direction so it works in advance of having another meeting.
And I would move for CVAG to...
And maybe it's direct CVAG to work with our local water districts more broadly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. See what that
good
might be.
CVWD okay with that? All right. We have consensus on that? Yes.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the presentation.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And now we're going to go move on to 5B, Commercial Electric Lawn and Garden Equipment Program. And we have Mr. Jacob Alves.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. Today we are going to have a presentation provided by Danielle Soto, a Public Affairs Manager for South Coast Air Quality District, to provide you information about the Commercial Electric and Garden Equipment Program that AQMD is trying to promote in the Coachella Valley. CVAG has provided our very own landscaper contact list, but there may be some opportunities at your cities to help promote the program and utilize it on your very own maintenance of your parks, your LLMDs, and medians. I would like to note that local participants in this program include Andalusia Country Club, Indian Ridge Country Club, Bighorn, and from my understanding, the City of Indian Wells. They also have been used by a school district. I don't recall what school district it was, but it was due to the quietness of the equipment. So that way they could use the equipment during school hours and not just early mornings or late nights. And with that, I'll let Ms. Soto take it from here. And then AQMD also has you, Jean Tan, and Javier Enriquez to help answer questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacob. May I have the ability to share screen? Someone currently is sharing right now. If that's not feasible, please let me know.
I gave you controls, but I can allow you to share instead.
Thank you. Is that showing for everybody?
One moment, please.
No.
Oh, excuse me.
We're going to share our screen, and if you could just...
I'm sorry, it was hard for me to hear that. Apologies. Stop screen sharing right now.
Yes, you should have control of the slides.
Thank you so much. Let's see, get this. So hello, everyone. Thank you for having me. Good afternoon to the committee and the chair. My name is Danielle Soto. I'm with the public affairs portion of the South Coast Air Quality Management District. I will be providing a brief overview of our commercial electric lawn and garden program. Wonderful. So briefly, South Coast AQMD, our mission is to improve air quality within our four-county jurisdiction. We oversee air quality monitoring within this area, including the Coachella Valley. Our agency has about 28,000 permitted stationary sources to help control emissions from operations and equipment that are stationary. And one of the methods that we pursue in improving air quality, aside from regulation, is incentives. And one such incentive is the Commercial Electric Lawn and Garden Program. And so the Commercial Electric Lawn and Garden Program, it focuses on reducing harmful criteria pollutants by incentivizing the replacement of gas and diesel lawn equipment in commercial applications with zero emission equipment. And the participation for this program, it is open to local governments such as yourselves, commercial gardeners and landscapers, and other local governments such as school districts or colleges and universities and even nonprofits. This is specifically a scrapping program, which means that to participate in the program, you will need to have an operable and comparable piece of equipment that you're willing to turn in to be scrapped. And this scrapping portion is actually very critical. It is making real emission reductions that can be included in our air quality modeling as we work to achieve cleaner air. So historically, this program, our agency has successfully provided over $4 million in incentive funding. Our communities have replaced over 7,000 pieces of gasoline or diesel-powered lawn and garden equipment with zero emission options. And as a result, over 197,000 tons of emissions have been reduced per year in our basin. And additionally, participation in this program, as Jacob mentioned, it makes for better neighbors. By having quieter operations, it can enhance the peaceful quality that is really part of the Coachella Valley, which you would know most more than me. I love it out there. So we have about 17 participating brands in the program. On our website, you're able to download a complete Excel file, and we've shared that with your staff as well. And that file will share the exact make and model that each manufacturer offers in equipment. And this is a really great tool for your on-the-ground folks, because they're able to sort equipment that they're exploring to replace, or they could sort by their preferred manufacturer and see the suite of equipment that that manufacturer offers. And so our agency, we specifically have about 4.8 million in temporary funding specific to the Coachella Valley allocated for this program. And so for the incentive amount, we are offering up to 85% of the before tax cost of the equipment up to the funding cap listed here in this box for the type of equipment. Under the same transaction, we will also allow for the purchase of up to two additional batteries at to the 85% discount. But the total incentive for the batteries and equipment combined cannot go over that funding cap that's listed here. However, there is no limit on the number of transactions your city can make. And so, just real briefly, in terms of process, your teams would head over to one of our pre-authorized retailers, and the retailer will assist in determining eligibility for the equipment you are interested in replacing. And once you select the equipment, there will be some documents processing that the retailer will do on behalf of the city. And the retailer will submit the application to South Coast AQMD program staff for final review and authorization. Our agency will confirm with the retailer, and the retailer will reach out and coordinate with your city and for your staff for the concluding payment and exchange of the equipment. And so with that, I would just like to thank you for the opportunity of sharing this information and opportunity with you. That concludes my presentation. And if there's any questions that we could assist, again, we have Eugene on as well to help answer any if there's any specific program questions you all might have. If anyone's interested in having a more in-depth meeting, we could arrange it with our program staff. We can try and with some coordination, we can bring out some equipment to your cities so they can have a hands-on and tinker with it or look at it and answer some or and ask some more on the grounds questions. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Soto. Do you have any questions?
Question, just a comment.
Comment.
Hi, Danielle. Thank you for this presentation. Just for my colleagues in the body, Palm Springs did something similar to this a few years ago and providing kind of an exchange program to essentially, we no longer allow gas-powered wind blowers and other gas-powered lawn equipment. But the exchange program is crucial, and there's a lot of community engagement to make sure that people understand what the process is, how to apply, how long it takes. With something that we learned pretty quickly, we needed to spend more time and energy and intention on. This was also for our private landscapers in our city, so Spanish media, talking to, in our case, also with homeowners and their responsibilities, kind of facilitating that because we had workers who didn't live in our cities, but were providing services in our city. And so just that community engagement piece is layered. And so if that is something that you're thinking about in your own city, just thinking about how you can help facilitate that as you know your residents and your workers best. But I love the idea of kind of we're thinking of like your school districts and nonprofits and other large facility, hospital even, right? How those might be good examples, learn a lot from those, and possibly even before you going to direct to kind of private landscapers and workers and businesses. So we learned a lot and got a lot of feedback the first year.
How's the community engagement going on your side, Ms. Soto?
So Javier, one of our team members, has been hitting the ground and trying to connect with like the cemetery district, the conservation resource district out there. He's been connecting with landscapers on the ground, making sure that the information is available at various retailers and nurseries where folks go. Just anywhere that these folks might be going to capture and let them know that this information exists. And if you have any suggestions or connections with anybody, we would love to work with you in any way that's most convenient for you, just so that we can really get this message out there. Because this is a great opportunity. I mean, the funding, it's there. And you don't, no one's asking for 100% of your equipment to be transitioned over unless that's the direction you guys want to go. Some folks are a little reticent for change, right? I mean, that's totally natural. So this is cool because you can make multiple transactions. So you can test a piece or two out and then gain your comfort and then go like, you know what? Let's do more. Let's go back. There's no limit on coming back for separate transactions with us on this.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from Ms. Soto?
Great program.
Thank you.
On the question of like the $1,400 for one of the pieces of equipment, and it's an 85% discount, the costs are a lot more than that, depending on the brand that you get, right? I mean, so what's been the average out of pocket for a two-man landscaping team that does, right? I mean, are they still paying so much out of pocket that it might be cost prohibitive to do the conversion even with the discount?
So you're saying like the cap, how
The
often does it
caps.
go much
Yeah,
higher
what's
than
the
the
margin? Yeah,
cap?
what's
Between
the
the subsidy
yeah,
and
what's
what?
the margin between the subsidy and the actual cost? I mean, you're buying a leaf blower for $1,000, you're getting 850 back, or you're getting a reduction. Chainsaw funding cap is up to $700. If you buy a steel chainsaw, those things are. Could be up to a couple thousand.
Yeah. Are you seeing any, do you have any data on that, Ms. Soto,
We've
on,
came down our
is that cap, are people usually going well over that cap, or is that cap usually enough to fund the 85%?
Are we able to make Yujin Tan a panelist and she can answer directly? Unless she's able to, like, we have our little instant messaging system here, so she's able to answer. I'll pass it along because I
All
don't
right.
know directly and I apologize.
No worries.
I'm just the public affairs guy that goes around.
I think we're working on
Oh, it does tend to go over. Yes.
Doesn't have to go over.
Yes. Oh, yay, Eugene. Hi. Are you? I think you might be muted, Eugene. I'm not sure. I didn't hear you. Now you are officially muted. So it might be a technical issue with your laptop. Can you try one more time?
It's muted. She muted it
Well,
again.
you muted again. Sorry.
Does it work now? Can you hear me?
Oh.
Yay. Sorry about that. Technical difficulties. But usually in my experience it does go over. However, like it depends on the equipment. Of course, for like more of the larger equipment, such as the stand-on or ride-on mowers, that tends to hit the cap at most of the time. But those are usually used for a lot of the very large landscapers and gardeners. Like more for the mom and pops, we've seen where you go like they'll go for the walk behind mowers and the blowers, which depending on the brand that you choose, I have seen some where it has fall below the cap.
It depends on the brand or the style of
Exactly.
purchasing, but limit that out of pocket differential.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think
Thank
that's an
you.
important part is because then you've got batteries, you've got to charge the batteries, cost to charge the batteries. Where do you charge the batteries if you're running from place to place?
And that's why they sometimes need more than one
Right.
to last the full day, depending on the battery. But also helping them understand that this is. They can kind of choose. So if there's like a their own replacement schedule, they're going to replace something that following year. They can kind of utilize this already.
Normal.
So it's yeah, there's a lot of opportunities to clarify.
I think one thing that we try to do is include a lot of different brands to allow for the variety for the participant to pick and choose what works for them in terms of budget as well as their daily workload.
Well, plus battery wise too. I mean, we've got a multitude of things at home, the leaf blower, the drills, the flashlight for the barbecue, and they're all in Milwaukee. So it's like we've got, battery stacks that you can just keep or play. They all fit every type of device if you stay on brand. Till time's
Exactly.
stop.
That's a great tip. If you stay on the same brand, you increase your versatility with those batteries. That's a good point. One time, I live in the San Gabriel Valley, and one time I was w taking an evening walk across the Laverne Private University and their landscaping business. I was so gratified to see they had this. Their particular operation was next to a wall, and they were had this big mountain of batteries all plugged in. And I was like, oh my gosh, they're using the program. So, depending again on your operation, sometimes folks are able to make it work. It is an adaption.
Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you for your time and having us. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I think Mayor Evans can offer your collection as a lending library. Expansion.
Attest a few things.
Yeah.
We've
Some
got
roll up your garage.
definitely tools. We have things, too many things.
All right. We'll move on to our item 5C, Public Sector Projects Policy Update and Fiscal Year 2026-2027 Budget with Jacob Alvarez.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Again, this item will be covering the IREN public sector projects policy update as well as IREN's 2026-2027 budget. The IREN public sector program targets public agencies. For some of you who weren't around when this initially started, it covers cities, schools, water districts, special districts, tribes in the SCE and SoCalGas territories. This technical assistance provides city energy efficiency project services and support at specific city sites or buildings to see how they operate and if it's possible to improve operational conditions and reduce utility costs. IREN helps agencies from start to finish with these projects, and they begin with energy modeling from the energy data that we collect from the cities, and then financial analysis that we look at the cost of the projects as well as the overall energy savings, along with the cash for kilowatts support. We help secure funding. We provide administrative construction support, and then at the end, we confirm the savings so that way the savings or the rebate we're able to provide is accurate. We believe that these resources should be reserved for each agency, and then currently, for every kilowatt saved in IREN, provides for a $2 per kilowatt hour the qualifying energy efficiency projects. So, distribution of energy efficiency project services is essential. This is the most cost-intensive service per unit. Without management, it'll allow for an unequal distribution of services between large and small agencies. Back in November 2023, this committee looked at four potential options. The first one's first come, first serve. This means that the budget could run out, and then some agencies would benefit more than others. The second one is reserve for all, which allows one energy efficiency project per agency, but then that slows down the amount of projects that could get done, and IREN would likely not meet its goals. Then there's number three, reserve for most, which is two projects per agency at a time, reserving funding for all eligible agencies, which would assume a moderate level of adoption. And then there's reserve for most, with the county exception. This supports, I'm sorry, so the one we ended up selecting, number four, supports a maximum of two concurrent projects at a time, with a total of eight total project cap for agencies. And then for counties, it's a max of four projects at a time, with a total of 16. And this would be between the years of 2024, 2027. And sorry, let me go back if I can. And then in 2023, the committee selected option four, and then IREN Executive Committee approved it in January of 2024. So staff is recommending that the committee authorize the CVAG representative on IREN Executive Committee to support the suspension of the current policy limiting the agency's concurrent cash per kilowatt projects, so long as they maintain the overall project cap. This would allow cities to work on 8 projects at a time and the counties to work on 16 projects at a time. This would, I want to make sure I'm on the right thing. It's stuck. Can we go back? The other way. Oh, let me try it. It's still stuck.
Tell me more.
Right there, that's fine. We'll just stay with there. There's a as a bottleneck issue as of March of 2026, there's 37 projects on hold. Due to the concurrent project limit, many facilities require multiple projects due to their metering configuration. And then it's a use it or lose it. So that's what the graphic on the bottom is about. The current funding cycle ends December 31st, 2027. Unspent funds do not roll over into the next business plan. The current available IREN budget for incentives is approximately $10 million. Current progress, we have 1.1 million in committed 19 CPUC approved projects. Local wins, the City of Indian Wells and Palm Springs have 2 fire stations that they've retrofitted and 1 public works facility. And then 4.9 in additional potential incentives have been identified, but due to the constraint, they're just pending each project to be done at a time. Again, the proposed change would be to suspend the limit of current projects to accelerate the completion before the 2027 deadline. And then make sure that we retain the overall project cap to per agency to maintain equity. Okay, now on to the budget. The fiscal year budget 2026-2027 for IREN, as you could see there, 25-26 is this current year, 26-27 is next year, and you can see the percentage changes. The strategic goals is to accelerate activity in this final 2 years of the cycle and address the higher contractor costs and expanded technical assistance due to inflation and because of tariffs. The notable changes in the new coming budget are increases in COG reimbursements for the additional workload that will be conducted, consultant labor costs, projected incentive payouts, contracts with Riverside County and San Bernardino County's workforce development, where they're actually creating pathways. And they're working locally here with CET, the Center of Employment and Training. So if they identify people that they could retrain, they go, those particular folks go to through that training without actually paying a dime. IREN is covering it. And then fellows, we've gone from 13 fellows to 32 fellows, and each of them earn at least $37,000 per cycle with an additional 10. We'll call it a bonus, which helps them either pay back their current loans or if they're going to continue to do more education to be able to pay down their tuition. And so with that, that's a staff recommendation authorize CVAG representative on IREN's executive committee to support the suspension of current policy limiting agency concurrent cash for kilowatts projects, as long as it maintains the overall cap, and then approve the fiscal year 2026-2027 IREN budget. With that, I'll hand it back over to you, Chair.
Thank you, Jacob. Any questions or comments on this program?
What is the project cap?
The project cap right now is for cities. It would be 8 projects that they could do. So technically about 8 facilities. And they're working on energy efficient projects. So we're looking at heat pump HVACs, heat pump water heaters. In the case of the City of Indian Wells, but we also did a cool roof on your public works facilities. We're looking at for the fire station, doing dual pane windows in the front. So again, the cap to your main question is for cities, it would be 8 total. And for counties at 16 for Riverside and 16 for San Bernardino County.
So when you're talking about the desire to increase the number of projects that can be worked on concurrently, but if you look at the slide, right, that talks about this year's budget versus next year's budget, are projects under the title public?
Yes.
You showed a slide, right? So
yeah.
Projects are public. So, and then you have education. So how does education integrate with the desire to increase the number of projects being worked on concurrently? Or is that a separate line item in the budget that is unrelated to projects?
It's all related. And particularly, I'll talk to CVAC specific. We haven't had any participation from our school districts yet. We're trying to reach out to them. So if they were to go under the current policy and they had, let's say, we'll just call it 8 projects that they could work on, under the current policy, they could only do 2 at a time until they get to the 8. If we take off that current limit of the 2 projects at a time, they could then go at 8 all at one time. That's the idea.
If I can just clarify, so, you know, there's 2 different asks, and the budget ask is in some ways unrelated to the project cap. We would be asking for that anyway.
That's ultimately the question.
Yeah. And then the spending cap is just a policy change so that we can ramp up efforts and to fund more projects here in the Coachella Valley. You'll notice that you see that that public sector has the largest dollar amount next year, hopefully to accommodate this change in the cap.
So it's not just a request for a cap increase, but it also relates to an increase in forecasted budget.
Forecasted budget in terms of payout for the next year as projects start to cycle through faster.
I think I understand.
Any other questions, comments?
So is the tennis garden the portion that's IID in Indian Wells? There's a portion of IID that's in Indian Wells.
I don't know the answer
to that question. It must be the tennis garden because they're going to be pulling from subsidy. Because I know IID territory is not eligible for this. So the work in Indian Wells had to have been SoCal.
An IID territory will be SoCal gas aspects that we could work on. Right now hearing your question, I'm hoping, because that's our next thing that we're going to look at, is taking a look at the tennis gardens to see if there's opportunities there.
Yeah. But so that just hasn't to been assure their IID. You're looking good. Thanks.
Just because
as we talk about distribution for housing on 111, it's like the tennis garden.
Yeah, there's your senior housing definitely is that.
Yes, that's for sure.
Yeah. And just to circle back briefly, so we're looking at this as well to try to spend the money out by the end of the cycle because it is use it or lose it. But just to clarify for everybody, I think Jacob mentioned this, but the CBAG representative to the IREN Executive Committee, this body has to sort of authorize their votes on this. And so that's what we're trying to clarify here as well. So that's why we're bringing the budget, even though it's IREN budget and not CBAG's budget. Okay.
That's helpful context. Thank you.
Answer to the mayor's question is the parking lot is in IID and the tennis garden is in Edison.
Oh.
Wow. Did you hear that, Jacob?
No, I didn't.
Parking lot.
It would have been smarter to do the opposite. And
parking lot is in IID, but not the actual building.
That is very good to know.
The next build is going to be in the parking lot. What about the land across the street they own on Miles?
Where?
The miles that runs adjacent to the wash.
All the cars
south.
Park.
South, yes, correct. Where they park cars.
So south of Miles,
yes,
is all, you're saying this side is IID, right?
No, this is Addison.
Oh.
The yellow side.
And just to also let you know, all our cities are in what I would say is good standing of where they're at to be able to access this funding before the cycle ends. I'm just trying to be out there and kind of get them excited about getting it done. Because one thing I didn't note during my presentation is right now it's $2 per kilowatt,
right?
Which is when I mentioned it to SCE, they're like, oh, wow, that's great. But then in the new business cycle, it's going to go back to what the original rate was, which was only 25 cents. So this $2 per kilowatt is offering
Until
the cities to get
2028.
savings of anywhere between 30 to 40% on their overall project costs. So
Until
right now,
2028.
at 2028, then it would go
Go
back.
back to the quarter.
That's correct.
So this apparently is an action item, right? So
Yes.
I'll look into a move approval for staff recommendation authorized representative. Excuse
One
you.
second.
All right, we've got a motion from La Quinta, second from Palm Springs. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Blythe?
Yes.
Any abstentions? Any opposition? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Move on to item number seven, public comments on non-agenda items. I do have one form here from Mr. Donald Ziegler.
So patient.
Be a complete meeting unless I was there. Kind of a change of focus here, but I think CVAG needs to form a citizens committee to help implement its climate action plan, which you all approved, I think, a few months ago. It's an excellent plan, and I think it needs citizen input to be adequately executed. I live in Palm Desert, and at 3:15 today, the Resource Preservation Citizens Committee for my city is going to be disbanded by the city council. They are saying that CVAG is handling it so our city doesn't need input. The Climate Action Plan calls on cities to enact much of its results. So I again say that as a citizen of Palm Desert, this body is it as far as citizen input, except for me coming and speaking to groups like this. But even as a bigger issue, I think a citizens input committee, the climate action plan is a wonderful plan. There's a good opportunity to prepare our valley for the future climate that's coming to this area, especially regarding the delivery of electricity. And Jacob and his crew have done an excellent job, I think, in planning it out. But it takes execution, it takes enforcement, it takes somebody making it happen. And I think that a citizens committee to help move things along would be very helpful. I know it isn't on your agenda to create such a committee, but maybe you could put it on the agenda for a future meeting to at least consider it, talk about it. Otherwise, it's up to each city to do it. And again, I'm just afraid the cities aren't in a position to really enact the complex issues that are presented by the future climate issues in our valley. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ziegler. We'll take that recommendation back to our staff. Any other public comments on non-agenda items?
I've not received any.
Once. Okay, the next meeting for energy sustainability will be Thursday, May 14th, and June 11th. And the next meeting for executive committee will be held on Monday, April 27th. I'll go ahead and adjourn. Thank you very much.
So basically,
Chair, may I ask for agenda item for
like
a
there's that word. Okay.